about him and shake him not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
Welcome, film fans, to another bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan. Joined here with Ed.
Hey, what's up, folks?
And man, I think it's kind of cliche. I don't know, but we're dropping this literally just a few hours before Friday the 13th as we continue our odyssey, our adventure. We continue our Friday the 13th franchise talk, as today we are talking part two, Friday the 13th from 1981. It currently has a 6.1 on IMDb, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 26% Metascore. It had a release date of May 1st, 1981, with a budget of $125 million. And
$1.5 million,
yeah. Jesus.
You're good.
As you can see, I'm used to talking these big budget films.
Yes, sir.
And it grossed a little over $21 million at the box office.
Not bad of a profit.
So, Ed, we're talking Friday the 13th Part 2. Is this a first-time watch, or how long has it really been since you've seen Part 2?
It's not a first time, I know that for sure, but it's been a while since I've actually seen it. It's probably been over 12 years or so.
Wow.
Like, legitly. Because the three I know best are Freddy vs. Jason, Jason X, and... 8 is Takes Manhattan, right?
Takes Manhattan, yes, sir.
Those three, so, yeah.
What a...
Oh, and the 09 version, but, I mean, that's kind of left and right sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to be talking about that one. But Friday the 13th, Part 2, Mrs. Voorhees is dead and Camp Crystal Lake is shut down, but a camp next to the infamous place is stalked by an unknown killer and introduces... Well, we introduce Sackface Jason as what I started calling him on the social media. We have a cast of the returning Betsy Palmer plays her first 10 minutes into the scene. Amy Steele, John Fury, directed by Steve Miner. And we're going to go through it. Walt Gorney comes back as Crazy Ralph.
Yep.
Jason in this movie is played by Warrington Gillette. Not a big cast in some of these movies, but man, right off the bat, let's get into it. What did you think first time view? Let's call it first time in like 12 years, like you said. What did you think? This time around watch compared to maybe whenever you did remember it, was it tough?
Well, tough, not really, but a little bit like, why are they because literally, and I know this is gonna probably get old for some people, but didn't Halloween 2 also come out around this time, a little bit later?
Halloween 2, I think, was 1980, yeah.
Okay, so a bit earlier than this, but they kind of copied each other in a way. Both of them, you know, rehashing the first movie in the first, like, 5-10 minutes or so. And
well, I talked about it last week.
Catching up.
Yeah, basically. All these movies are, like, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And
that's what kind of has that iconic...
So you enjoy it then?
I don't mind it. At first, I was kind of like, wait, did I pull on the right thing? Did I just, you know, my VHS mindset kicked in. I'm like, hold up, what? But, you know, once I was like, dumbass, you got a Blu-ray in. Come on now.
The thing I really didn't like it, I know, you know, they probably didn't want to make him look like former killers from different horror movies past. But The Town That Dreaded Sundown came out in 1978.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And they have him look just like him.
Basically, yeah.
With the overalls, the sack face, you know, the potato sack, whatever the hell's on his face.
So that was part of the inspiration, actually. Because one of the,
inspiration or fucking flat out off, copycat.
I mean, basically call it what you want, but yeah, I mean, hey, you know. But I mean, you know, it probably was like, you know, we don't want just a regular mask, but we don't know what our mask is yet, or maybe it was just kind of like
OKC,
you know,
soda right there.
Hey, there we go. But you know, it probably was just a last minute thing, like, ah, shit, we haven't even come up with that and all that. Plus, I knew or heard that the original makeup artist or the original costume designer or whatever wasn't in this. That was the
right.
First one.
He's
so.
The guy, I don't know if you remember, but from Dusk Till Dawn, he's right. Got the penis gun. He's yeah. The makeup artist from the original yep. Friday 13th.
Yep.
And his name is Tom Savini. Is the original makeup artist who did the makeup for... He's done makeup for, like, Dawn of the Dead, Friday the 13th. And I think he even probably did some stuff for... From Dusk Till Dawn.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, right offhand... Friday the 13th Part 2 just feels...
A little cheapened? No?
It had a bigger budget. What do you mean yeah. By cheapened?
It was definitely, I mean, even some of the cleanup versions of it, you can see the grit still in, like, the film and all that stuff like that. You can see that, like, it was a part of that era, for that matter.
You're talking about the film graininess?
Yeah.
Well, that I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I like a little grain in my movies, especially if it's, like, an older horror movie like this. Steve Miner, though, man, he's also the guy who directed Halloween H2O.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been in the horror game for quite some time. He's also did Lake Placid, and he had some stuff to do from the original Friday the 13th, okay. Even though he didn't direct the original one. But the girl, the surviving girl that was in the first one, she, Adrian King, Alice, yep. She's killed off in like the first 5 minutes.
She actually didn't want to do this movie.
Yeah.
Because apparently she had like a stalker or some kind of thing happen. She actually got injured when she was supposed to get stabbed in the temple or whatever, through mm-hmm. The temple, through the nose and all that. She actually got injured with that. Not that bad of an injury, but injured nonetheless. And she had to go to the hospital, I think, for a day and get some stuff worked out. But yeah. So she had kind of triple reasons not wanting to be on this whole set, man.
I know we're skipping ahead, but did you like the fact that it took a little, almost to an hour and 15 into the movie, just like they did the first one, that you did not see Jason at his fullest until like an hour and 15, hour and 10 minutes into the movie?
I mean, honestly, it kind of hides, it keeps us suspense, because then... It wasn't like, you know, kind of like later sequels that, you know, Jason lives or Jason takes Manhattan. It wasn't like Jason's here now, you know,
right,
it wasn't like that. So, you know, this was supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, kind of an anthology, like they were going to release one every year.
Every October. Yeah. Or they released one every summer, getting ready for, you know, summer camps and shit like that. Almost kind of like Saw took the back roads and did the same thing. They released a movie every October, so.
But I mean, like, this was gonna be like a different happening on Friday the 13th every year, kind of like the Babysitter Murders was supposed to be for Halloween. But I mean,
the same know, thing almost know. Though with oh, I forgot my train of thought, but yeah, the only thing that I probably did not like that much about this second movie part two was they had a little bit more of a bigger budget, but the cast. I don't think I really had a favorite character in this movie. I didn't really enjoy any of the... Even the star, Amy Steele, I didn't really enjoy that character as much as I thought I would or as much as I enjoyed Alice. If I did enjoy anybody, it'd probably be Paul.
Yeah.
The head camp guy.
Yeah, he played around some, but yeah, he was good. He was good.
What did you think of... Crazy Ralph finally getting his
second kill of the movie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured it'd come at one point in time. It was just more of a win kind of thing. But yeah, it was kind of just like, okay, you want to go ahead and creep on everybody. Well, here you go.
And like, it's the only thing that's kind of off though, like I said, the synopsis, this is not Camp Crystal Lake. This is not Camp Blood. This is a camp a few, you know, rows down.
Yep.
And Jason still takes a liking to butchering some people up.
Well, yeah, because I don't think it was necessarily going to be 100% just about Crystal Lake.
Right.
So they kind of did a little different, as well as went in a little different of the direction, you know, continued the story of Jason. But I think they were wanting to end the story of Jason here. And they kind of were like, yeah, screw it. Let's go ahead and keep him, you know, for part three and gone on from there.
So like you said earlier, they were going to try to do something like Halloween, but every single, because, you know, originally the Halloween movies were going to be about something different.
Yeah.
Are you saying Friday the 13th franchise was going to be something different about a camp killer?
Well, no, not necessarily a camp killer or anything like that, but a Friday the 13th day.
Kind of, okay. Almost like day. Happy Death Day.
Basically, kind of, yeah. Because, I mean,
to where something just murderous happens on that day, yes. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Jason.
Correct.
Okay.
That's basically what I've kind of found out and all that through.
Look at that doing his homework.
But, yeah. Also, I found out there was another injury. Steve Dash, he was another one that, if I'm not mistaken, another one that played Jason. Yeah, he was another that played Jason. He actually got injured on set.
Oh, he was the stunt double.
Yes, he got injured on set. Basically, when they were, and I know this is way later in the movie, but when she defended herself with the machete against his pickaxe.
Oh, yeah.
She actually hit his finger.
And this is the movie that introduces kind of like when you, I don't know, but when I used to think of Jason, or in some of the posters or just some of the stuff you'd see him in, Jason always had like a chainsaw
or
a machete.
Because, see, I associate the chainsaw with,
Leatherface.
Of course, Leatherface. The machete with Jason, a butcher knife with, like,
Michael
and sometimes Chucky, but, like, more of a kitchen knife, or not kitchen knife, a hunting knife with
Scream.
Scream, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, all of them
Thank
have,
you.
Like, I know, right? Their choice or iconic signature weapons, basically, you know, which is an awesome thing, and, you know.
Speaking of Scream, though, I'm going to get this off my chest. I can't wait. Scream 5 comes out in January, and we're going to be talking about Scream 2, 3, and 4 throughout the next few months. So
pretty soon.
I think it's going to be pretty fun conversations. We talked about Scream, the first one, way back when, on like episode 4 or 5. So go back in the early archives and check that out.
Yeah.
If you want to go back and listen to any of our other episodes, like this past Monday, we just got done talking about the brand new Suicide Squad, which is on HBO Max. Go back and check us out. You can go back and listen to any of our episodes in the archives, wherever you listen to podcasts at, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, Anchor, Podbean, TuneIn, Deezer, YouTube, Player FM. So wherever you listen to podcasts at, check us out. You can even find us on Apple Music. Just find hashtag PFPN, Prescribed Films Network, and you can listen to us through iTunes through the Prescribed Films Network. These episodes that drop on Thursday nights, 9 p.m., listen to us. They are our bonus episodes. If this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, every Thursday we drop a nice little 45-minute conversation of just some movies that we want to talk about. We did a whole 2 months and a half of A24 movies. The next 2 months, we're talking Friday the 13th franchise.
Yep.
Literally parts one through the 2009 remake. So check us out. If there's anything you want us to talk about or want us to review, send us an email, cinemen921@gmail.com. That's the fastest way to get a hold of us. Or you can text 405-590-5711. Or you can get a hold of us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thecinemanmoviepodcast. And then the Instagram is all one word, cinemanmoviepodcast. Or tweet us at cinemen405. Other than that, man, these are ad-free shows. We're not talking about any sponsors.
Nope.
45 to an hour conversation of just some fun movies.
Yeah.
And I think after Friday the 13th, I think we might talk some Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films.
Ooh, yes.
I think
yes.
We're going to talk 1, 2, and 3, and then the two Andrew Garfield movies, getting ready for Spider-Man No Way Home in December. So going back, Friday the 13th Part 2, you get introduced to all different kinds of camp counselors in this.
Yeah.
What do you think about Mark, played by Tom McBride, who is in the wheelchair?
Honestly, I kind of liked him a lot. I thought that, like, if he could have been, like, he seemed more of, like, the alpha male than any of them other than Paul. Paul seemed like, you know, the head and all that. But he seemed kind of more of the more true alpha out of all of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Definitely. But, I mean, he just happened to be, you know, disabled or crippled or whatever you want to call it.
And then I would say the Kevin Bacon of this movie would be Jeff, played by Bill Randolph.
Yeah.
The crazy guy, or not really crazy, but the young dumb one who, you know, kept trying to go towards Camp Blood and took his little girlfriend with him.
Yep. Fuck around to find out.
Yeah. I went back and checked out the trailer and the special features. Again, not only were we reviewing the movie, but we're reviewing the Scream Factory box set that came out last September.
Yeah.
On Friday the 13th. So going through these special features, and I highly recommend it. If you guys are a horror fan in general or physical media collector, I highly recommend this box set. It's a fun box set, all kinds of new special features. There's pictures of it up on the Facebook page and the Instagram, so check it out. Even the poster that we released for each episode has the cover art on the poster. So I think if you're a fan of Friday the 13th and physical media, you have to have this box set. But anyway, checking out the special features, I checked out the original
ending
trailer.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
To the movie, and man, it gives like every count, every death in the trailer.
Really?
Yeah, it's because the title of the film is like the body count is higher, or some shit like that. The body count continues, and in the trailer it starts off with one talking about starts off with what's her name, Alice.
Yeah.
As kill number one, and then goes all the way to
chronological order.
Yes, it does. And it's like a two minute and 36 second trailer.
And it's 9 kills in this movie.
Yeah.
It would have matched the first, but Jason did not get killed. So, yeah, there is that and all that good stuff. That's kind of a crazy thing. Ballsy, especially in, you know, back then for that matter. Hell, that's even ballsy for nowadays. It's not really off par for nowadays, but yeah, that's ballsy for sure.
What do you think the hate that this movie gets, man? It's got some pretty bad ratings on like IMDb. Like I said, six is pretty decent, but on as far as Rotten Tomatoes and Meta, it's in the 20s.
Well, I mean, I just don't
Do you pay attention to any of that stuff?
Not really, no. I really don't. Personally, I think it's the sack, Jason, for that matter. I think most people don't like that he isn't the iconic, you know, hockey mask, machete wielding, you know, don't give a fuck, 6'5".
But it's coming.
Monster.
In this movie, you kind of get a glimpse of his face.
Yeah, you get a whole glimpse of his
face. And he's still the same deformed.
He looks kind of more hillbilly-like than anything.
He is a Hills Have Eyes-looking motherfucker.
That's what I was about to go with. Yeah. Yes, Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, he looks like one of those Hills Have Eyes people.
Kind of, yeah. And, I mean, that's exactly what he looks like to our later iterations. He's practically bald. You know, this isn't... Well, we'll save that for another time. But, I mean, in other iterations, he's practically fully bald. He has little bit strands of hair.
It's almost as he gets... As the movies grow, he continues to get more and more...
Deteriorate.
Yeah.
Yep.
More zombie-like.
Basically, yeah, which...
And I think it's in 9, Jason goes to hell the final Friday. He's almost like a skeleton. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the coming weeks. But, yeah, man, 2 gets a really, really bad rap. And, I mean, I can kind of see it, but... Again, I'm not going to bash on this movie too much. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I agree 100% with Rotten Tomatoes. This is a piece of dog shit. No, because, like, these movies mean something. And I think, like, to me, at least as a horror fan in general, and just as a movie fan, you have to appreciate the score.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate the cheesy kills or the cheesy acting. Just like today, you're not going to go, like Zach said and like you guys have said with the King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
You don't go to those movies for the surrounding cast. You go to see the monsters.
Yeah.
this is almost the same thing.
Yeah.
I feel you don't go to see a Oscar-worthy performance from Kevin Bacon.
No.
Or you don't go to see Bill Randolph. Oh, let's go see Bill Randolph's new movie. Who the fuck is that?
Right.
No, you go to see Jason or whichever one of these big evil motherfuckers. You go see these guys hacking motherfuckers up.
I mean, basically, yeah. Because literally, like, with Halloween, you know, they tried three. Three, they tried to move to a whole different direction with it. Didn't succeed. So they went back to the original formula.
But it's almost opposite of this.
Well, not original, but they went back to the similar formula.
Yeah, you go with what kills best.
Yeah. With this,
no pun intended.
With this, they stayed true to the course. They just kind of continued the story on, basically. So, I mean, it's not necessarily that, like, oh, this is what could have been or something. It's not like that at all. It's more just like this tried to stay, okay, first one worked out. Second one, it did its thing. I mean, they made $20 million, basically. So, there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did something.
And just a year after the original.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, what does Friday the 13th mean to you? Like, when you see that date on the calendar, which we're just a few hours away from a Friday the 13th, you can't not think about that character. You can't not think about these movies.
I mean, okay, so anymore, it's just another...
It's just another day.
A random day, basically.
You wake up, you go to work, or, you know, but to some people, and we're going to see it, if you guys follow, you know, just anybody on social media, you're going to see a meme pop up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Friday the 13th.
Well, I mean, yesteryear it used to mean, you know, a very suspicious bad luck day.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that was the thing, you know, it was Friday the 13th in this film is supposed to signify that's when he was born, was on that particular Friday the 13th. Now, that may not be his birthday every year, for that matter.
Right. I was sitting there thinking, like, you know, because Jason's mom in the first one was like, he was born on Friday the 13th, and I'm like, you're only going to get that, like, whatever, like, 4 years? Every not two
even,
or 3 years?
Dude, no, not even. I was born on a Friday, and I think I've had, like, 5 or 6, and I've been alive for 30 years. So, I mean, it's not necessarily like it's going to be every other year, every 5 years or something like that. You might have it back-to-back. One, you know, 2019 and 2018 would have been back-to-back same day. But, you know, then you will never have it for 12 years.
I don't think
years.
We'll talk about it that much today because I haven't dug that much digging into it yet. But have you ever seen or heard of the Friday the 13th series? And I think that's what you were talking about. It was – I don't know what channel it used to be on.
Okay.
But there is a TV series, Friday the 13th. And I think that's what you were talking about or that's what eventually happened.
Right. I think it's what eventually happened because they gone ahead and did that. Because
there's a series called Friday the 13th, but I don't think it has anything to do with Jason. It's just a strand of bad luck things happening on Friday the 13th.
And I think later that idea was brought up again and they actually did it. But yeah, no. So what I've went and dug up is basically that it was supposed to be a film franchise,
but they ended up turning it into a TV series.
Right, you know, and basically this was supposed to be an anthology, like maybe number one was about his mom, number two was about him, number three was about whatever else, you know, Camp Blood in general, it started or something, whatever.
I can't wait to dig into next week and see how, and I'll leave this up to you, but I can't wait to see how or why the hockey mask was brought into play.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he got it off of one of the victims.
He did. Now, I know how he got it.
Oh, okay.
But I want to know just behind the scenes why they chose a hockey mask. And literally, as we're talking, I mean...
You've got a mask.
And I think we'll do a selfie, right?
Yeah.
Right here, as we're talking about this episode, we'll do a selfie right here, but I don't think he's paying attention or he's not he's not really.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, his head is on a swivel. Literally.
Jason on a stick.
Yeah, Jason on a stick, big old sausage-looking motherfucker.
But, I mean, honestly, why they continued with it, I'm not sure on that one. It could have been just like, you know, okay, Michael had the same mask and, you know, What else? There had to be something else around that time, but maybe they were trying to follow the similar formula and be like, okay, you know, let's see how he goes, this, that. And it just kind of started sticking and working, and they were like, all right, cool. Because, I mean...
Did you like him being, and you can't tell that much in this one, but do you like him being the outfit in the second one? I didn't enjoy just the overall country...
I mean...
Boone Pickens motherfucker.
It kind of, to a point, makes a little bit of sense. But I do feel kind of like what you said earlier. They did straight up rip off another movie. It is what it is with that. Years passed, for that matter, for both of them. However, I don't know. Because, you know, you've got a little shack out there, too, that he stays in, or apparently stayed in. You know, because a lot of people think that the shack that he killed the sheriff or deputy or whatever.
Oh, yeah. He kills the sheriff in his little, like, love shack. That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah. Okay, B-52s.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he had a car that's as big as a whale. But basically in that little shack and all that. I loved one shot of that whole little scene that I loved, and I thought that was just funny as hell. Was when they panned to the toilet and they just sat there for like 3 seconds. It's like, what the fuck? Why? Oh, this is where Jason takes a shit. Like, yep. Like, okay.
Do you like that they brought up the small scene where the like the dead dog or the dead coyote, like, you know, whether it be his, he's, you know, gotta eat.
Yeah. I think it was kind of stupid that they did that. And then all of a sudden, you know, way later. Oh, no, we're joshing you. It was something different. Don't worry.
But it wasn't something different.
You know, well, it was like a coyote or another dog or something like that. Everybody thought it was, what, Millie or something, whatever. But no, it's not Millie. Millie's fine. You know, like, okay, I'm sorry, but the little Yorkshire or whatever. Like, cool, fuck it. But yeah, it's kind of funny nuances like that that go ahead and make these kind of extra cheesy, basically, and it's not necessarily that I'm calling it bad. I'm not. It's just kind of a funny thing that they include little things like that, you know?
I mean, I like it, even though it was done in Halloween a few years prior. You know, Michael's got to eat. Got a warm dog right there.
Hey.
But I think it's... The one thing that I think was missing from this movie is the darkness. And I think there was a little too much comedy in this one.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And I know the kids got to be kids, and you have to feel like they're at a camp, and they're joshing around and stuff like that. But I just felt like it was a little too lighthearted, a little bit too campiness, if I can use that word.
Campiness, yeah. Love it. Well, I mean, they're not necessarily all kids either. They're most okay. So in reality, you did have one that was actually underage at the time. But, I mean, other than her, you know, everybody else is late teens, early 20s, for that matter. And I don't know, even in what, the bar scene, Paul calls them our kids or the kids or something like that. And it's like, dude, you're their friend. You're literally right around their same age, so you're a kid too.
Talk about Paul?
Yeah, so... You know, I mean, the only thing, like, some of the stuff I found kind of dumb was just, like, when they had the truck towed away or something like that, that kind of playing a little joke on them and shit. But, I mean, like, other than stuff just like that, none of it was really at all annoying or stupid or...
Did you watch this all in one setting?
Yeah.
Did you have any plans on just skipping it or just fast-forwarding any of the scenes?
No.
Was any of it unwatchable?
I mean, little parts here and there were kind of like, okay, so you're, you know.
So you said there were 9 kills in this movie.
Yeah.
Which one would probably, we're going to talk about favorite kills a little bit later on, but which one to you was more impactful? To me, I'm going to say I did not see I didn't see Alice. Like, obviously, I've seen this movie more times than I care to count.
Right.
But if I had to go back and, like, if I'm watching this for the very first time, I didn't expect Alice to die the way she did, at least in the first 5 minutes.
And, I mean, that's kind of that Drew Barrymore Scream kind of thing right there. You know, killing old star off, or the star off of the movie, or a big name for that matter. And I mean, honestly, she was probably the biggest name just because she had been in the movie before at this time, for that matter. Because I'll be honest, other than Betsy Palmer, I've really never heard of any of these folks. I really haven't.
Any of these what?
Any of these folks. Any of these fuckers. There any, you go.
There we go. No, I'm just messing with you. That's kind of like your trademark. But,
kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know any of them either. The only one that's really returning is Betsy Palmer, Alice, and then maybe Crazy Ralph.
Yeah, those three are about it. You know, but I almost swear Paul was in the first one as well.
No, you're thinking. You're thinking of the creepy guy with the mustache.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
He's another one that's kind of weird, hands-on, touchy guy with the young girls.
Which, I mean, he feels like he's a guy in power, so I guess he feels more cocky than he should be, I guess. I don't know.
How did it upset you when her car was breaking down? And I know you being a car guy, you were like, no, that's not how it's done.
No, I thought that was fucking hilarious. He just raises up the fucking engine hood, and all of a sudden, like, 3 seconds later, I was just like, yes. Fuck you. Thought that was hilarious, actually. But I will say, at least he knew where the engine was. So that's a point towards him, I guess. Many people would have still been looking in the front. So, yeah.
What would you say is probably going to be your favorite death if you had to choose in this movie? Like, you have, you know, like you said, Jason didn't die. I wouldn't technically count Betsy Palmer.
I'm going to say Mark.
The guy
in the wheelchair, yes. Yep. And the reason why is because they went through all kinds of extra bullshit on this guy.
But you get that's the scene. That's one of the iconic scenes of this franchise is the wheelchair falling back down the steps.
Well, not only that, but okay, how the hell did he get killed? Because the camera pans in front and in back of him. So it shows where he's looking and it shows behind him. Nobody there. So unless he is literally blinders on, okay, negative 10 degree field of vision, this guy should have seen Jason coming from a quarter mile away. You know, because you get, like I said, you get the two camera angles, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 80 mile an hour freaking machete to the face, you know, and it sticks in like 4 inches to his freaking skull. And just throws him back down like 20 flights of stairs. And I'm just like, this is extra as hell. Who did this? You know, and I mean, yeah, it became, you know, one of the more iconic ones. But it's just like, damn, dude, like y'all really had to do the guy in a wheelchair like this? Like y'all couldn't let him tip over once he fell down the dock or deck stairs? Like,
I think it would have been pretty fun. And this is just fantasy booking, but he's not my favorite kill. But right. Talking about Mark, I think it would have been pretty funny to have Jason just put him in the lake.
Right.
And just have him drowned.
Like, that's another thing, like...
Like, you can't swim. That would have been just a funny...
Gilbert Grape.
Yeah.
Could have drowned.
He could have drowned it.
I mean, honestly, you know, like... But, yeah, so it was just very extra for practically no damn reason. And it's just like, I don't know if that was to show, like, Jason doesn't give a shit about nobody, disability, able-bodied, male, female, whatever. I don't know, but damn.
That's a good point. But I think when you're drawing out this big killing machine, you have to almost have him do something like that. Whether it be, depends on how dark you want the movie to be.
Cold-hearted, ruthless.
Right, whether it be like a kid, a handicapped person. My favorite kill is, and this might be a little childish of me, but my favorite kill is going to be the two couples, the couple that was making love.
On the bed with
the spear. On the bed, and he threw the spear in between both of those people. And that's
Jeff and Sandra.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty fun death, and I know...
which actually, she was she's the one who's underage.
Right, well, they cut it.
You know, Marta Kober, because... Yeah. Yeah.
That's why she didn't show anything.
Correct.
But also, from what I saw in the special features, Shout Factory exclusive, I think, is they wanted the kill to be them two actually doing it.
Yeah.
And then he comes in and kills them.
Right.
But I guess because of her underage, they couldn't show
everything. Yeah.
So that's how, yeah. But I thought that was a fun kill. I'm like, oh, that's kind of, you know, right through both of them.
See, that would be my number two right there, honestly. That would be my number two if I had to pick one. Then Vicky right there, because, like, she is shown, you know.
She's the other one who's, she's the one who, isn't she the fully, the one that shows full front, frontal?
Yes. Well, no, she's the one who comes out of the water 100%. Yeah.
Right, because.
Streaking.
That other guy hit her clothes or whatever.
Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott hit her clothes pretty well. He didn't hide them. He
took
them
from her.
Took them and all that, and then gave her pants back, but then kept her shirt.
See, you say that's your number two. My number two would be Scott's death.
Oh, yeah.
The bear, or not the bear trap, but how he was hanging upside down.
Okay, so I want to ask you. I might be, like our viewers like to point out, I might have been high, not, but. I swear the machete, when he cut Scott's neck open, the machete was on the dull side, the back side, the spine side, if you will, of the machete.
It could have been.
Like, I swear it was, because I swear the blade side was facing towards the camera, and when he cut, it just, what he started dragging it, and it hit, and then all of a sudden he just, you know, and I was just like, hold the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could have been.
But yeah, that one... That little scene right there probably would have been number three for me, in all honesty.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crazy Ralph had a cool old-school death, though, of just a good... You know, and I know this sounds weird, but sometimes you need a good strangle. In some of these horror movies, an old-fashioned wire or just a strangulation of the throat. I know this sounds rough, but in a horror movie... How ruthless is it to see one of those?
You just want to see the light disappear from their eyes.
No, it's not that. It's literally, I think, you know, because you could be sitting there thinking to yourself, like Michael Myers in Halloween, when he gets the sheriff's daughter, and he strangles her just with his hand.
Oh, yeah.
It's all fun and games until you see somebody, like, fighting for their actual breath.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Because a machete or the way Jason, you know... the axe, anything like that. Forward. It's all fast. It's quick.
Yeah.
But when he sits there, you strangle somebody, like, bro, like that's it takes at least 15, 20 seconds movie time. And, you know, you could sit there, like I said, it's a movie and you're sitting there just watching it. But sometimes during a strangulation of a film, I'm like, can I take this?
Right. Like, hold on now. Yeah, this is a little too real.
It is.
And I mean, honestly, like, I'll go ahead and agree with that. You know, it's kind of a crazy point on it, for that matter. But at the same time, like, it does have that effect. You know, it really does. So, I mean, yeah, one every now and then would be probably beneficial in most cases, for that matter. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's, you know...
What did you not like? Is there anything that struck out to you that, you know, you were just like, you know what, I think this is a dumb part, or just anything that, like... Negative wise, it's hard to hate on this movie because I've seen it so many times.
I've got one thing.
You got a nitpick?
I've got one. And it's not necessarily the movie's fault, and I'll explain what I mean. I will say I didn't think for a Friday the 13th that it was gory enough. And I found out that it was basically because of like FCAA or FCC or something like that rules. We're basically like telling them you can't do that much blood in it, basically. So basically they were threatening them with an X rating if they did that much blood and all that. So,
and then nobody go see it.
Right. So it was just kind of like, okay, you know, we've got to go ahead and do this to adhere to the rules, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's not really the movie's fault. It's more regulation's fault, but... That would be the only nitpick of mine, because especially with Jason,
okay. Not
Mom, but with Jason, you know.
I am a huge, also, wrestling fan. And not only do I compare sometimes, you know, these Jasons or Michael Myers to maybe Kane, you know, back in the day I was a huge Kane fan. I feel like where this movie or this franchise messed up, I think you showed... Jason's face too much.
Right.
I like the sense, even if he looked like a gruesome hillbilly.
Right.
Or even if he looked like Prince Charming.
Right.
If he has a mask on his face, you did that for a reason. And I feel like you did that, you know, to just keep or give some suspense or to some scary suspense to some of the fans out there that, you know, you don't really know the guy who's hunting you.
Because, I mean, that's even the same thing as Michael Myers or The Shape, for that matter. When he had his mask taken off for those brief seconds and then shown into the light, it was kind of like, oh, shit. But
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you first saw that movie, I don't care how old you were, yeah. How many times did you pause at that time?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you rewind and then pause again just to see a glimpse of that face?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know why Friday the 13th franchise didn't do that. His face was like shown for a few scenes in this movie.
And
it's only part two. Like, I don't know. Having that mask or just hiding that face is kind of creepy because you don't know who's hunting you. You don't know who's coming after you.
Or what, for that
matter. Exactly. So I would have liked to see him with just his face covered throughout the whole franchise. But again, like you said, back in the day, maybe they did that because that was going to be the last Jason movie.
Right.
Who knows?
I mean, honestly, the last iteration of Jason and all that good stuff. But I mean, at the same time, it's still just like, you know, that's why they didn't show Jaws for a while, for that matter.
Yeah, but they also didn't show Jaws because there was a lot of issues with the shark.
I mean, very true, very true.
So it's not like, you know, they were planning on not showing the shark.
It's keep him under wraps for like 80% of the movie
kind
of thing.
But very true. This is something to where, I don't know.
And yeah, I mean, okay, so you bring up Kane, the wrestler, for... You know, kind of an example. We didn't really see that man's face from, what, 97, 98 till 05, 06, somewhere around there?
02.
02?
Or 03.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, about 4 or 5 years. But, I mean, that's still 3 or 4 movies easily right there that, you know, a comparative time frame for that matter. But, I mean, you know... I agree. It would have been more of a suspenseful kind of detachment, I guess, from the monster that is or would be known as Jason. So, I mean, definitely different. So, definitely different things for different strokes for different folks, basically, you know.
Man, Friday the 13th Part 2, how would you... Fantasy book it. Let's talk about this, because I heard, again, just like in the first one, there was multiple endings that they wanted to go through.
Yeah,
there so was. I guess in the second one, it was kind of the same thing, to where instead of, you know, because what do you think happened to Paul? Do you think he died?
Yeah, he's fucking dead.
But you don't see it.
But there is, I forget where the person actually found it, but there is a poster of him that has nothing in the movie of him basically looking up, kind of looks like he's dead-eyed, and it just looks like he's screaming, basically. On top of that...
Because in this original ending, you don't see... It almost like looks like she wakes up from a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Jason Voorhees' mom's head, and yes. Then it just cuts to the end.
Yeah.
And what they wanted, I heard,
yep.
Was to have you see Paul die... And then it goes to his mom's face again, and then she smiles.
Opens her eyes.
And smiles
at the camera.
But they said that looked too cheesy, and they just did away with it.
Yeah, they said it was silly, so yeah. They were like, no. Which I'm like, silly? Like, y'all keep, like, don't get me wrong, you went on to resurrect this motherfucker.
So you
like,
saw the same special features on the disc then?
I didn't see the special features, okay. But I did see some snippets of it.
Okay, because yeah. That's on the Scream Factory set. I didn't know if it was on the older set as well.
Yeah, the 2015, I think, Shout Factory, when it came out?
No.
Or,
the Friday the 13th movies just came out last year on Scream Factory.
Hmm.
Now, there was a different box set put out by Paramount, like in 2010, 2009.
Maybe it was that?
So.
I don't know. But either way, no. So, okay. There was an actual, in the actual movie... there is a part at the very end that is like either a news broadcast or something like that that basically says only she survived, only Jenny survived. You know,
if you could end it differently, how would you end it? Do you like the original ending, or do you feel like it's just a little bland?
I kind of almost feel like this is Beauty gets won over on the Beast, if that makes sense.
Explain.
Because in almost every one of them, it's usually a female that outdoes Jason. Almost every one of them. Or even Jason's mom, for that matter. Because we're on... And I'm going to go ahead and just do 1 and 2 right now.
Right.
You know? So, you've got... first one, Adrian King's character goes ahead and wins. This second one, Amy Steele's character wins. You know,
survives. But I think that's just a tight cast. You know, in every single horror movie, the main character stocks a female.
Yeah.
And whether it has to do with sex or beauty or, hey, she looks good on poster, it sells. I don't know. But...
Or kind of don't be a slut and fuck every camper or whatever.
Exactly. Scream defines the whole genre of saying, hey, we're going after big-breasted dumb women.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's like that in every Friday the 13th movie, the female eventually gets one over on him.
Yeah.
But again, you're not going in to, you know, see a fucking Tom Hanks performance. You're going in to see Jason hack some people up. I don't care how they act. I want to see what their guts look like.
Well, I mean, like, what was it? Jason X goes to space or whatever, where he took the two females in the, sleeping bags and was banging them up against the tree.
Oh, yeah. Well, he does that in a few of them.
Right. But, I mean, that's just, you know, kind of the hilarious part of it. It's just like, well, you know, you want to be a dumbass? I'm going to beat the shit out of you with this, on this tree.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. And, I mean, it's not necessarily that, like, I don't know. It's not necessarily that, like, you like seeing them get injured or anything like that. But it's just, like, the creativity of the kill, basically. Is kind of funny.
What's up, man? Do you have any favorite scenes that you want to get off your chest before we get into star rating?
I kind of like the little powwow they had at the very beginning, the little campfire, whatever they had at the very beginning, of Paul kind of scaring them all, and you know, so I'm gonna level with you, you know, just not near, not far away with, you know, Blood Day, you know. Jason, yeah, blah, 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 the girl says, and all that. And then, you know, he brings out the one guy in the fucking leotard-looking thing with the weird mask, you know. And I'm just like, okay, I like that because, you know, shit like that happens actually today. You know, you stage a little prank and story on some of your friends, and yeah. But that'd probably be my favorite scene, I mean, honestly, so...
I'm going to probably stick with the two kills. When the couple gets the arrow through the bed through them, and then when Scott gets his throat cut as he's hanging upside down, I think that's a fun kill. And then when you finally see Jason, even though he's in his overalls and his potato sack face, I still think it's still kind of leery. It's not.
It almost kind of looks like backwoods KKK vibes in a way. Like,
I could see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I still think it's kind of, looking back at it now, it feels kind of cheesy.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Especially being a horror fan, and if you know what, you know, the town that dreaded sundown, that's what I just kept thinking about. I'm like, Jesus.
Because I kind of kept, you know, I don't know. It was just like the one scene with Jonah Hill and them.
Oh, yeah, Django.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of, because I had never actually seen The People Who Dreaded Sundown. I've never seen that.
The Town Who Dreaded Sundown.
Or The Town That Dreaded Sundown, sorry. I've never seen that movie. So that's what I kind of was like, oh, my God. I was like, this guy is emulating a backwoods KKK jackass.
I think those kills, the Ralph kill was a really fun scene. Like movie monster, you know, history, you don't go in expecting, you know, great scenes other than some nice
great kills basically, yeah.
Those are going to be some of my favorite scenes. I do like the interaction of let's introduce and let you know what happened in the first one.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. They do that throughout the entire whole franchise. So we're going to be talking about that for the next few weeks as well. Friday the 13th Part 2. Ed, what's your star rating?
Gonna have to probably go with a 6.
6?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna give this movie a 6. I think it's a fun sequel, but I don't think it still lives up to the original. We'll see where it comes in. Well, at the end of this franchise, we're gonna rank 1 through 13, 1 through 12. We're gonna rank them. So yeah, that's gonna be mine as a 6 for this one. So far, back to back weeks for you giving a 6.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, love these movies. Think they're pretty fun. It's always a thing that I like to watch at least one a year or something like that. So yeah.
But going forward, like I said, I want you to give your full star rating. If it's if it's straight terrible, but you like it and you enjoy it, you want to give it a 9, you give it a 9.
Yeah.
I gave part one last week, I think I gave it an 8.
An 8 or a 9?
Yeah.
I think an 8, yeah.
And then part two, I'm giving it a 6. I can't wait to talk about part three. Some of my favorite ones in this franchise is going to be 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be a pretty fun conversation. Ed, what are we talking about on Monday?
Man, probably cited, or actually arguably the greatest film of all time. In many, many, many corners of the world, for that matter. The Shawshank Redemption. Starring Morgan Freeman, man.
Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins. Another great adaptation of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
So this is another first-time watch for you, correct?
Yes, it will be.
If you guys want to follow along and watch with us, check it out on HBO Max right now. It's available to stream on HBO Max. Get out and buy the DVD or the Blu-ray. It's real cheap, $7, Best Buy, Walmart. You can even check out CDR. I know they said this ad-free. CDR has it as well, right here locally in Oklahoma City. But man, next month, September, it is actually getting a 4K release. The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh,
so,
shit. That's funny.
It's getting a 4K release next month in September. So other than that, man, Friday the 13th, part 3, next Thursday, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast, Thursday,
yep.
August the 19th, we'll talk part 3.
Yep.
But for the rest of the month, guys, like I said, Monday, August the 16th, we are talking the Shawshank Redemption. August the 23rd, we're talking The Matrix 2. And then August the 30th, we're talking Promising Young Woman. So it's going to be a fun, diverse conversations for the next few weeks. Again, we are doing Friday the 13th as our bonus episode. Next week, part 3. And then the week after that, part 4.
Yep.
So is there anything that you are most looking forward to about this Friday the 13th adventure that we're about to go on?
I mean, honestly, specifically part 3, I want to see what it's like without 3D when they had the intentions of doing this for 3D.
That's what we're going to talk about, too, next week, is with this being, you know, this was in the 80s when, you know, they would give you the colored goggles and you'd go see movies in 3D. So it's going to be pretty fun to go, like you said, to not only just go back and watch it without the 3D effects,
yeah,
but we're going to be watching it and all these scenes, you know, are going to be coming at you.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a fun thing with that, for that matter. The franchise, mainly the creativity of the different kills, what they go with, how Jason goes about his adventures, I guess. You know, so, yeah, I've got to say, you know, kind of looking forward to it and all that good stuff. Because it's been years since I've really watched a lot of these. So,
nice.
Yeah.
I watched them all last week in a binge, or last year in a binge when I got the box set. So it's going to be pretty fun to see how they aged.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've seen these multiple times,
yep,
dozens of times, but never as we're sitting here dissecting them for this episode or for these podcasts.
Yeah.
That's been another fun thing. I want to take just a few minutes and, you know, we are rapidly approaching our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, we are.
And it's crazy that we've literally went through a handful of downloads to now, you know, thousands of downloads a week. Emails, tons of emails weekly. Now we've had emails talking about another show. And now for the past 3 months, we've had 2 shows a week now.
Yep.
And at some points when it does get a little tiring, it does get a little exhausting sometimes. It all pays off when I open up those emails and they're just flooded. I really want to just say, like, thank you to everybody who's out there who clicks play, clicks downloads, gives us a thumbs up, shares our stuff on Facebook. That is what makes it all worthwhile to me.
To me, and I'm not saying I disagree with that. I like the camaraderie we have with you three, with all four of us, whatever you want to call it.
The brothership.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, come together with a couple of old friends that, you know, have known for years for that matter. But on top of that, you know, having everybody out there that goes ahead and listens and actually really pays attention, that is so amazing. So just mind-boggling to me in a way, you know, to think of where we've come from to what we are and hopefully what we're doing in the future.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got to agree. You know, the interaction is makes it all just the, you know, pulling time from family and everything else to doing this makes everything more worth it. The fact that the way we've grown is exciting to me. I love coming in and hearing you talk about it and all that stuff. I'm just like, dude, this is freaking amazing.
And now, yeah. If you want to support us even more and if you want your own merch, you guys can visit the Facebook shop on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecinemanmoviepodcast. And we now have mugs available. You can have your own Cinnamon Movie Podcast mug for a nice little price. Just give us a message. And if you're here locally, we will drive to you and drop it off. Or if you were internationally or through the countryside, send us that email and shipping handling, and we'll get it to wherever you are. There's some nice glossy photos on the Facebook page, and like I said, we now have a shop on Facebook. So go visit it, facebook.com/thecinemanmoviepodcast. What better way to have your drink other than in a podcast mug? But Ed, do you have anything you want to tie into Friday the 13th Part 2 before we head out?
No, like I said, definitely some fun creative kills. The introduction of Jason, fun. Did not meet to the original, but it is still a fun little adventure. So, yeah, looking forward to 3D, part 3 in 3D, whatever you want to call it.
Shawshank Redemption on Monday. You excited?
Yeah, that too, yeah.
I don't want you to go into this movie and thinking, hey, it's so called the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
I just want you to go in with just a clear mind, and, you know, it's even though some consider it one of the top five of all time, it's just a good story.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun conversation. Me, you, Craig, we'll chat it up on Monday and talk the Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
And our top five. Send us in some emails about our top five as we talk our top five prison movies of all time. So go back, check it out, play along, and send us all that information. Send us in your star rating on Friday the 13th, Part 2, Part 1, or send us your star rating on the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And that's cinemen921@gmail.com. That's cinemen921@gmail.com. So, and every Monday we get into the email bag and read out those emails.
So this is Ed saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
And then don't forget, guys, join us Monday as we talk the Shawshank Redemption right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I